Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, we have been speaking for the last many weeks about what we titled Powering Your Life by Grace, that is the grace of God. And we have made a number of points, amongst which most importantly is that we have defined what grace is. We have seen that grace is not just a passive thing. Grace is not just you getting something that you did not merit. Like we always say, grace is unmerited favor. No, but that grace is more than that. Actually, grace is the power of God that works in the life of the person that believes. And because of that power, that fellow is able to achieve much more than he personally could have achieved. That is, if God was going to beget something great in your life, yet you're a small person, God would send through someone like Samuel to say to you that though you are small in your own eyes, yet God made you king in Israel. That was what Samuel said to Saul. So that's the power of grace. That is, when God wants to use you in life, he knows that what he wants you to do is bigger than you. Therefore, he sends his spirit. Like Isaiah said, the Lord has sent me and his spirit. When that spirit is working in your life, then we say your life is powered by the grace of God. Therefore, Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his power working towards me did not prove vain, in that I labored more than them all, but it was not I that was laboring, but the power of God or the grace of God working with me. So we have seen that grace, therefore, is that power of God in our lives to do work for God, to achieve something very tremendous. And we said that if you are really going to be effective for God in life, then you have to have grace working on your behalf. So we are discussing how to have your life powered by the grace of God. Another very important point we made is the fact that everyone that God calls into this life, you know, Paul was speaking in Romans chapter 12. He said that each one of us have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each person. That is, we have seen that some people are good at something. You know, virtually anybody can learn anything, basically. If you put in enough effort, you will be able to learn it. But there are people that don't have to learn. For them, it just comes spontaneously. What you call learning, for them, is nothing but a fine-tuning of their natural skills. That is, they acquire skills in those areas faster than anybody else. Because like David has said, God formed their inward parts. We studied that from Psalm 136. God formed their inward parts to be able to do something particularly well. For them, it is not the effort that everybody puts in that they need to put in to get any result. You have known people like that, and the best way to even explain it is that of singing or that of painting, an artist. Virtually anybody can learn to draw. Virtually anybody can learn to sing. But you and I will put in so much effort to be able to do these things if we don't have the natural gifting for it. And that's what Paul was saying. And this, let me just chip this one in briefly before I go on. You see, anytime God wants to bless humanity, what he gives to them is somebody. Now listen to this again. God doesn't just bless people by raining blessings from heaven. What he does is that he will give them somebody. When the nation of Israel began to cry to God for deliverance from Egypt, what God did was to send them Moses. Are you getting the point? When God wanted to bring for Israel again redemption, he had to ask, who shall we send? Who shall go for us? Anytime God wants to do something in life, he sends somebody. And I've made this point severally, and I believe it's one of the most important things that I have to teach to people. Now, there's a second side to it also, which is the fact that anybody that God has sent into this world, it is because there is something specific that God wants the person to do. We have read again and again about the story of Moses. We all know how God called him. We know the story of Jeremiah, who God spoke specifically to, that before you were born, I knew you, that I had consecrated you to be a prophet. And Paul said it clearly, that God who knew me from my mother's womb and called me. Now this is the point I'm making. A lot of us think that it only applies to prophets and priests and all that, but it doesn't work like that. I'm trying to say that when God wanted to bless the world with something, he sent you. And that thing that God wants to bless the world with through you
is the gift that he has given you a special ability for. That is something that you have grace working in your life easily. You understand my point? In that area, you find that you are just good at doing something. I gave myself as a practical example. From time I had known that I have the gift of teaching. I have the anointing to impart knowledge. I have the anointing to minister a particular kind of spirit to people when I speak. It is not an effort on my part. Therefore, I realized that God wants to bless my generation with the knowledge of him. Therefore, he sent me. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, there is somebody that God has sent to turn around the economic hardship in his environment. There is somebody that God has sent to turn around some technological difficulty that people are experiencing. Are you getting the point I'm making? Each person has that grace because God called him before he was born and he equipped him with that special ability. Now, I said something also in our previous episodes that when you have discovered the gift that God has given you, you now have to prove faithful in using it. And one of the important things you must note about proving faithful is that you will have to use your gift when you will not get any material reward. It's when you really can be said to be faithful. That is when God can judge you, because you see, any man will give himself up for money. A lot of people, you can buy their faithfulness, most people actually, if you pay them enough. So the real mark of faithfulness is not that you are well paid. The real mark of faithfulness is that you get nothing materially when you are using the gift of God in your life. Then God says, when I find you faithful at that level, then I can now move you up to the level where you may have material things returned to you as a result of the use of your gift. That is when we now talked about stepping into a calling. That's when we talked about stepping into a ministry. But that only comes to you after God has found you faithful. So if you are a gifted artist, you will have to paint for people for free. You will have to decorate somebody's home for him for free. You will have to decorate your church for free. You'll have to decorate an NGO office for free. You will do many things for free, and you might do that for years before God sees it fit to begin to give you material rewards for the gift that you have in life. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Now, after having established those points, we now went ahead to begin to explain the four different ingredients that I said will make up for success in somebody's life. That is, if you are cooking a soup of success, these are four important ingredients you must put in. The first one, which I began to say last week, is the issue of prayer. We mentioned four of them. There is prayer. We said then also prophecy, then a seed, and last of all, rest. And we began to talk about prayer. When you put all these things together, you will see success beginning to come out of your life. That is, you will see the release of the grace of God in the things that you are doing. That is, success comes to you without much effort. We have been trained in life to think that it's the amount of struggles we put in that will bring a result for us. Meanwhile, experiences in life has shown us that it is not so. And that's what God was trying to teach through Moses. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God shall man live. That is, if a man understands the principles of God, if a man obeys the wisdom of God for his life, the will of God for his life, he would discover that where people needed to put in much effort before getting any degree of result, he will get much results with very little degree of effort. And that is what we are calling grace. Now, if you are going to have that working in your life, I say you must have all these things in place. The first one I explained last week in details, at least in some details, is the issue of prayer. I said prayer is not just a matter of desperation, but prayer is the sign that you really have faith in God. Now, I want to explain some things further about prayer beyond the one that I said last week. Last week, I explained that the Bible says, commit your ways unto the Lord, and he will direct your paths. And what it means to direct your paths does not mean that he will always whisper in your ears. It just means that when you will have gotten into trouble, you will get there late. Then there's a time your car, maybe you are going on the road and you have a bus tire, and you will stop by the roadside. While you are repairing your tire, you will meet somebody who God has planted to be the key to your breakthrough. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, accidents, you know, in life will turn out to be your own connecting point for success. That is why the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That is, what appears like bad on its own when you look at the whole picture, you will discover that that thing is actually good. That's what God is talking about. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what it means when he says that he's directing your steps. He's directing your path. That is, you don't. It's not as if God wake you up in the morning and say, my son, wake up early today, get ready by 8 o'clock and go to this particular office. No, that might happen. Please don't get me wrong. That can happen and often does happen. But what happens more frequently is that the day that God wants you to get to that office at 8 o'clock, it will happen that a man will call you the night before and say, I need to see you. Please be here by 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Or maybe you were not even planning to get there, but your neighbor said, please, can you kindly help me drop this thing in that office as you are going? Then when you get there, you see a notice that shows that somebody like you is required. That is what is called God directing your steps. It's so important we understand this. Now, there's something about faith. Let me quickly say that one. And that is the fact that, you know, faith is not a big word that we really can't understand easily. Faith simply means that we recognize that beyond the things that we can see, there is something we can't see that exerts more influence in life than those things that we can see. As an example, when David faced Goliath, everybody saw Goliath, but David saw an invisible God on his side that was able to overcome Goliath. Therefore, he faced Goliath. David did not have a death wish. He did not have a suicidal tendency. It's just that he recognized the presence of God with him. And to him, that was very tangible. And that's one thing I want you to understand in life. Success in life comes to you only if you recognize in life that there is something beyond that which you can see. And it's a tapping into that force. A sign of your recognition of that is what leads you into prayer. Prayer is not something you do when you have nothing else to do. Prayer is when you realize that I must get a force bigger than the one I can see to walk on my side. Are you getting my point? There's a principle behind that which I really want to just explain before I go into the next issue. You see, the Bible says that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. You know, many times in life we see things happening and we say, where was God when this was happening? That is a misconception about the personality of God that we have. We think God is just the defender of the universe. You know what I mean? That Voltron, anytime there is problem, God will just jump in from somewhere, identify the problem, and solve it. We think God is like Superman that we watch in films. Let me tell you the truth. Those are films. Those are not realities. Are you getting my point? God is not the super defender of the universe against an evil coalition. No, God is God, and he has his own principles of working. He said, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord. The earth he has given to the sons of men. What does that mean? What God was saying is that I have given you the responsibility to take charge of the earth. So when things happen, God will only come in if we ask him to come in. There was something somebody said, I read it was forwarded to my mailbox by a friend after the 9/11 crisis when Al-Qaeda brought down the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center. Now, that was a few years ago. He said they interviewed the daughter of Billy Graham and they asked her, where was God when this was happening? And the woman gave a very, very wise answer. He said, God was right where we placed him. For years, we have been telling God, get out of our schools. We don't want to pray in schools. For years, we have been telling God, get out of our businesses. If anybody wants to do something according to biblical principles, people say, this guy is a religious bigot. He has a narrow mind. He is not free. Therefore, you say, this guy is retarding progress. Every time people wanted to obey God, the law fought against the person. In effect, saying that, God, please get out of my business. Then when trouble came upon the nation, people said, where was God? And the woman said, God was right where we placed him. Just to chip that one in, it might enlighten some of us. A friend of mine was sharing a story with me some time ago. He said there was a young woman who was going to go on a trip. She was living a riotous life. And she and her friends were going to get into a car and go on a trip. And her mother had been praying for her and talking to her. So that particular day, the woman called the daughter again and said, please, this trip you are going on, I have a bad feeling about it. I just want to beg of you to take God with you on this trip. And the young woman laughed, she and her friends, and said, sorry, ma, the car is full. If God wants to come along, he should please stay in the boot. And then they commenced on the trip. And on the way, they had a ghastly accident that killed everybody in the car, that their bodies were difficult to identify which part belonged to who. But the interesting part was that in the boot of that same car was a crate of eggs, and not one was broken. And what was the moral of that story? A true story. That God was in the boat, right where they placed him. And he guarded the eggs that were in the boat, but the human beings that were inside the car were not protected by him, because they did not invite him to come and take care of them. What am I trying to say? The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. If the sons of men want God to help them in all that they do, then they must ask for his help. God is not a defender of the universe that just barges in anytime there is trouble. For the children of Israel, they were even his covenant people. But before he delivered them, he told Moses, I have heard their cries. That is, they have cried to me for help. Therefore, I will deliver them. When God wanted to deliver Israel after captivity in Babylon for 70 years, Daniel also still had to rise up and begin to pray about the captivity. What I'm trying to say is this. Jesus said this clearly to us. He said, men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Paul said, pray without ceasing. That is, in everything, you must draw the power of God into your life by prayer. You cannot expect God to step into what you have not committed into his hands. What am I talking about here? Powering your life by grace. The grace is the power of God. Therefore, you must ask God to bless every endeavor that you want to get involved in. I hope you are getting the point I'm making here. Now, there's something about that. It places a kind of responsibility upon you. You know, that's one thing about prayer. If you are doing a business, if you are doing a project, if you are getting into school, and you have prayed to God that, God, I want you to help me through this season. This is the issue about my life at this season. I want you to step in and bring forth success for me. Therefore, you are forbidden from going after other gods. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? What does it mean to go after other gods? To begin to break the law of God so as to please somebody else who you think might be able to help you. To begin to use unrighteous methods to get quick results. When you have believed that God will be the one to bring success into your life, then you are going after other gods. And this is the problem. God says that I am a jealous God. I don't give my glory to another. Anyone who has prayed to God for his power in his life, who now begins to run after other gods, is doomed to fail. It is better if you never came to God at all than to go to him and then turn back to other gods. He always sends such people into captivity. But let me just cheer you up with this. If you stick with God, remember we said some time ago, we talked about cooperating with the seasons of life's adventures. And we said in one of those seasons, we described the trial of your faith. If you stick with God throughout the period of the trial of your faith, you will always come out successful, you will always come out on top, and you always come out better than those who did not come to God. This is the interesting part. Those who use other methods tend to appear to succeed quicker initially. But enduring success and great success is what God gives. God does not give quick success. It does not give hurried success. I keep on saying this. You either want it from God or you don't want it at all. That is, if you want it from God, take it with what it brings. It comes with patience. If you are going to walk with God and get grace and get success and favor as a result of the grace of God in your life, don't expect that you break through so quickly. I left school at the age of 22. Now I am 25. I already have a house. I already have a car. Look, it might not happen like that. It often does not. God has to first establish you before he brings you into the realm of super abundance. Are you getting the point I'm make? I'm explaining here that when we pray, we are invoking not only the power of God, but a commitment to serve God into our lives. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Now, so prayer is not something we do out of religious habit. You know, like I read somewhere some time ago that a young person wanted to pray and said, our Father who art in heaven. And the Father who art in heaven answered and said, yes, what can I do for you? And he said, please don't disturb. I'm trying to pray here. Are you getting my point? That is, the prayer was purely a religious habit. Something I say every morning. So when God even came to come and answer the prayer directly, the person considered the answer from God an interruption in the routine. Are you getting my point? No, prayer is not like that. Prayer is actually something that I do because I expect results. Prayer is something I do because I realize that there is a supernatural power that will walk towards me if I ask for it. It will protect my business. It will keep me in my going out and my coming in. And when I step into or any kind of difficulty, it brings for me wisdom that is beyond that of the aged. It brings for me wisdom that men may not have seen before, that causes me to succeed where other people are failing. When I recognize that, I always start my day, I always start my seasons of life, I always start my endeavors with a prayer. I commit it to the hands of God and say, God, pour forth grace upon this thing I'm doing. Now, this is very important because we know that Paul in the Bible was anointed. He had the grace to do the things he was doing. Yet, he would tell the people, pray for us that doors might be open for us to minister. Pray for us that utterance might be given. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, I know you have the gift, like we have explained. You have the grace to do the things that we are saying. But God has said it simply, this is the way it works. It is still important that always you commit your ways into the hands of the Lord, and God will therefore direct your path. Now, this is one thing I would like to chip in before I close today, because I don't want to give the impression to people that all you have to do in life is learn methods and methods and methods and you will succeed. Listen, grace is poured upon your life especially as a result of a relationship. If you have a relationship with God the Father, that is when he pours his grace into your life. You know, the other day I was in my sitting room and I was just giving God thanks. And a kind of thanksgiving came to my mouth. And I said, Lord Jesus, I thank you because you have introduced me to the Father. And this is the point I'm making here. Remember we said that God created each one of us to impact our generations. When God wanted to drop something on this earth, he dropped it into our bodies and gave birth to us. Now, this is the danger of life. The Bible says that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. A lot of people abandon the purpose of God for their lives without even knowing that's what they are doing, because they chase after the three things which we have read from the scriptures earlier. We said there is a lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you are chasing after those things, automatically you begin to walk away from God's call upon your life. You begin to walk away from the reason why God created you. A discussion I have with people again and again is that issue of, is this country not more comfortable than this one? Is America not more comfortable than Nigeria? Is Australia not more comfortable than Nigeria? Is United Kingdom not more comfortable than Nigeria? And I keep saying, it is not a matter of comfort. It is a matter of assignment. If you are pursuing after the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, you are likely to walk away from the place of your assignment. And God has poured grace upon the place of your assignment. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, this is what Jesus does. In our walking away from the counsel of God for our lives, walking away from the plans of God for our lives, we go into what the Bible calls sin and iniquity. Are you getting my point? We begin to do things that make us become short of God's glory. And we can never return back to the center of God's plan for our lives if our sins are not forgiven. Are you getting my point? If our lives are not reordered, we can never get back in there. And God doesn't just forget. People don't understand that thing. God must first forgive before he forgets. And forgiving with God is expensive. God doesn't just say, forget this thing, that's the end of it. No, he said payment must be made. And this is how payment is made for our sins and our iniquities. And that is by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is how you now make that payment. This is how you cash in on what Jesus has deposited for you by faith in him. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, that's what Christianity is. Christianity is not about going to church. It's about asking God to forgive you because Jesus has died for your sins. And when you do that, God eradicates the iniquities of your past and rearranges your life to fit into his will for your life. Do you get my point? And that is when you suddenly begin to discover grace. Sometimes you see a man, maybe he's in his 40s, he gives his life to Christ and becomes a preacher. You think that it was because he sinned, God forgave him, and he wants the world to know how he can forgive people. That's how the man became a preacher. Not necessarily. It is that God called that man a preacher before he was born. But because of the many devices of life, he had forsaken the counsel of God for his life. But when he now met the Lord Jesus Christ, who now reintroduced him to the Father and washed away his iniquities by the power of his blood, that man now discovered God's calling for his life. Are you getting the point I'm making here? You know, Just to say this one before I close, this matter of calling is so important because, you see, if you don't look at life like this, you will not be able to pray effectively. Because one prayer that is not effective in life is a prayer of what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed. If you're a believer and every day you wake up, all you pray about is my food, all you pray about is a job, all you pray about is a wife or a child or prosperity, then you really have a serious problem in life. What God really wants you to pray about is that, God, as I step out in life to affect my generation, I have seen that the obstacles I need to overcome are great. I am asking you to come with me, show me your power, manifest your grace in my life that I might succeed in doing your work. Are you getting my point? That is real prayer. That is the kind of prayer that pleases God. When Solomon was going to please God, God said, ask for anything. Solomon said, be with me that I might do this great task that's before me of being an effective king in this nation. And God said, this is how I give people things. When they focus on what I have called them to do, then I will give them wealth beyond the one that they have imagined. I will give them more food than what they can eat. I will give them more drink than they can imbibe. I will give them more clothes that they can wear. Are you getting the point I'm making? That is, they make the emphasis of their lives the issue of doing the will of God in being a blessing to their generation. And that is what Jesus does for you. That is what Jesus reintroduces you to when you contact him, when he forsakes your past, when he realigns your life with the will of God for your life. Listen to me, I am not saying what you will eat is not important. I am not saying what you will drink is not vital. I am saying that those things are automatic additions to the lives of the people that are doing the will of God for them. You see, the other day we were studying Genesis chapter 2, and I realized something there, that after God created Adam and he placed him in the Garden of Eden that he had prepared, a lot of us used to think that God put him in there that he might just enjoy life. But if you read verse 15 of that Genesis chapter 2, we see that God put Adam in there to cultivate it and to keep it. And God now told him in verse 16 that as you are doing this, any tree of that garden you may freely eat. Are you getting the point I make? I not told him the ones not to eat of. But this is the point I'm making. Before you are able to eat freely, it must be because you are cultivating and keeping something. It's as you pursue the assignment of God for your life that you find all the food and drink that you need in life supplied to you. Therefore, in prayer, what do? We are actually praying to conform ourselves with the will of God. We are praying to conform ourselves with the purpose for which God created us so that we might be effective for him. And Jesus said, this is the way it works. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. And that's the point we are making here. That is how to power your life by grace. What I've emphasized again today is still that matter of prayer. That prayer is to have us aligned with the will of God for our lives, and that Jesus has opened the door. Actually, I just felt like emphasizing that thing today. Lest we get carried away thinking that all we have to do is learn principles. No. The path to the release of grace into our lives is to first believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the atoning power of his blood. That is the ability that he has to cleanse away our past. Because later on in this broadcast, we will discuss what I call the hindrances to receiving God's blessings. Because one of the most critical hindrances to receive the blessing of God in life is the sin of the past. Are you getting my point? Because sin is like a poison that has been sown. Until it is washed away thoroughly, it will prevent you from getting results. After Adam sinned, what did God say concerning him? He said, cursed is the earth because of you. From now on, it's only with difficulty that the earth will yield anything to you. You will have to struggle exceedingly before you get anything out of it. And that is the exact opposite of grace. That is, sin is the opposite of grace. And until sin is cleansed, grace cannot be experienced. I hope you understood that point I've made today.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.